as I was trying to think through this, the book and what Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, I came up with kind of this little, and I'm going to jump to the end. This is where I'm going to go in the end. He's really talking about their past, their present situation, and then having them look into the future. And there's, and I'll kind of fill that in a little bit. Because, you know, for people to get real into the future events and when the Lord comes back, and this is basically dispensationalism. There's people that kind of disagree on when all this stuff happens, but this is what, I mean, I don't know how you understand Scripture unless you're a dispensationalist. You know, when you see the Messianic Jews, this is where they go. They go to dispensationalism. And anyway, this is kind of what Paul is talking about right in this area here to the Thessalonians. And let me just kind of a reiteration of where we've been. He talked about them being in verses 1 through 5 of 2 Thessalonians. They were a thriving, growing church. He loved these guys. He enjoyed their company. He says, your faith is getting bigger and bigger. Your love for each other is growing. You're persevering in trials. You're doing great. And then last week we looked at verses 5 through 12. Don't let the immediate cloud the ultimate. Don't let the persecution you're going through now cloud what God has for you in the future. And we talked about John 16:33. In this world, he said to the disciples in the upper room, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. And God will, in verses 5 through 12, God will afflict those who are afflicting you. And it's going to be a just retribution. It's going to be a retribution for what they are doing to you, and it's going to be eternal punishment. In the end, in verse 12 of chapter 1, in order that, in the very end, the whole purpose of this is that the name of the Lord, our Lord Jesus, be glorified in you and you in him. This is all about who Jesus is. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about how much we understand about the future. It's really about the fact that one day Jesus is going to be glorified in you. And then we're going to look at verses 1 through 12 today in second chapter. Let me, before I read it, let me kind of go through this whole idea here. What has happened was, let me read verses 1 and 2. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. There was confusion, apparently, about what was happening. Somebody had come to him, whether it was a spirit, that, you know, a message, maybe a charismatic speaker that says, man, if you get on YouTube and see some of the preachers on the future, I mean, it really does kind of, and I thought about this. I got my 401k thing yesterday. It always has that little disclaimer, right? Past performance. Right. Past performance is not. So you know, when they're trying to predict, you get all this stuff, people trying to tell you what stocks to get into, predict the future. This is a quote that Gary Enrig had from Yogi Berra. It's really hard to make predictions, especially about the future. You know, I mean, there's this, and people want to have predictions. We want to know kind of what's going to happen tomorrow. And the interesting thing is, much of the Bible is prophecy about the future. Now it's dripping on me. How weird. How could it be hitting me? Oh, I could move. Duh. I think it's dripping on me. Am I losing something? I don't know. Nothing but my mind. So... Yeah. Yeah, and a friend of mine sent a picture from our fraternity in 19, 69. It was Mother's Day in our fraternity. We had pictures of all of us with our moms. And the guy said, "What happened?" You know what I mean? It was like, oh, man. Oh, man. Anyway, so the idea, the main idea of what Paul is getting to here is don't be shaken. Don't be disturbed. You have not missed the day of the Lord. Okay, that's basically what he's saying. And let me kind of think through. Does anybody, I mean, when I first got saved, I remember I was talking to somebody that he was like, I think he was my age, but he grew up in a Bible church, and I had all kinds of questions about the second coming. And I said, "Do you think we're in the end times?" We were at a wedding, and I was standing by a bar, and all this. It was really kind of. And he goes, "Yeah, it's probably going to happen this year." And so I start studying and looking it up, and Yogi Berra was right. It's hard to make predictions, especially about the future. But weren't there times in your life where you really get into the whole second coming and when's it going to happen? And it is kind of intriguing, the four blood moons and the what's happening in the world today. Is it dripping on you now? You could move too. Man, I'm sorry. Talk about planning. We were planning on coming out here at 11 o'clock yesterday. Rick lost his wallet, put his wallet, when we were driving out here, put his wallet on his truck and drove away. And we're like, all of a sudden he's in the truck going, "What happened?" So we're driving back and forth. Well-laid plans of mice and men. We're driving around looking for his wallet. He's freaking out because he had money in it, all of his credit cards. He had LifeLock. I think I'm getting LifeLock because he made one phone call. They made calls to all of the credit card people. And anyway, our day was all planned. Then we came out here, to say the least, he was not all that excited about, you know, thinking about it. So we thought we blew the lines out. Obviously, we didn't. So we'll get him back here. But that has a lot to do with what I'm going to talk about here. The present and our plans and how, you know, and then I planned on going to the party and didn't get to go. So anyway, let's look at some verses about this whole idea that we're not the only ones that have ever been concerned or thought about when is all this stuff going to happen. Who did I give Matthew 24? Did I give that to somebody? Matthew 24, 1 through 8? That's all right. I'll read it. It's probably you. Oh, man. Mother's Day. She's in somewhere else. You know, Mother's Day. Okay. Can you read it? Okay, so it's kind of an interesting question when you think about when this was asked. This was before the crucifixion. You think about that? Then they're saying, "When are you coming?" It was kind of odd. It was just, to me, so they were curious, you know, I mean, they're curious. I don't know if they were thinking like now, they might have been thinking like it should be right now, you know. You're going to set up your kingdom right now. We're going to be rulers right now. And he said, he's sitting on the Mount of Olives, and they came to him privately. Well, when will these things be? That you're the tear down the temple. I mean, when is all this going to happen? And what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age? This is, they were curious. So we get curious. I mean, the future is, the thoughts about the future is kind of curious. What will tomorrow bring? And I think I remember asking Walford this one time. I said, you know, he had a calendar that was out to like 3 years of speaking engagements. And most of them were on prophecy, you know, and Jesus coming back. And I'm like, how do you plan for 3 years and still like think he's coming today? And he said, well, I live like he's coming today, but I plan like it's way out there. So I don't. What do you say?
Eat dessert first.
Eat dessert first. And don't buy green. Those are the theological. Eat dessert first in case he comes back so we can. But it's interesting, his answer to them. And Jesus said to them, let no one mislead you. That's what was happening to the Thessalonians. Somebody was misleading them. It's okay to read and think and watch YouTubes about the four blood moons and there's some good stuff out there, you know, but we gotta be careful that we're not misled. And that's very scary when you're standing up here and you're teaching this stuff. So because there's people that are really smart that don't believe in the rapture and, you know, but I don't know how you can't read scripture and not be a dispensationalist. Anyway. So verse 5, he says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. We haven't seen that in our day, really. They're not saying they're the, although, if you remember, there was a special on PBS. I think it was on PBS. Who was the guy that was Spock on Leonard Nimoy? Have you guys seen that? I think I told you about this. It's a special on the history of Israel, and he's narrating, and apparently Leonard Nimoy, or Spock, is a Jew. And it was all about the wars in Israel, and there has been a, just recently, there's this old guy that was the Messiah. They thought he was the Messiah. So, you know, we didn't think that, but there are people in Israel that thought this guy was the Messiah. Verse 6, and you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. You know, and that's all we hear about. You know, I mean, talk about, they talk about the most war, the 20th century has been the most brutal, is it 21st? Whatever century it was last time. The most brutal, more people have been killed in more wars than the whole history of the world before that. But Jesus says, you'll be hearing about this, but don't be frightened. And I think I told you about that when I interviewed with an architect one time, and he says, Bob, what are you afraid of? And I said, I'm 50 years old. I'm pretty much afraid of everything. It's a kind of a joke, but why? I got to be careful, you know. And I'll get into, we're not supposed to be fearful of the world and wars and rumors of wars. For those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. We got an email yesterday. Elijah just went through his first earthquake. They're sitting in the hospital and the whole house building starts shaking. And you hear people say there's been more earthquakes and more this and more that in the last. And it might be statistically true. And that might be a point. I mean, maybe we are seeing these things. But these things are merely, what? The beginning of birth pangs. It's not yet here. It's not. Don't be misled. So he says that to the disciples. And then who did I give Acts to?
Acts chapter 1.
Yeah.
Verses 6 through 8.
6 through 8, yeah.
When they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which your Father has fixed his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth.
Okay, so same guys, after the crucifixion, asking this, now what? Is this the time? Is this when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are we now going to be, are you going to fulfill all the promises that you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? This is it. Are you restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, and this, we ought to take this to heart, because he says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. I don't know if it's in John earlier, Matthew, or I think it's in Matthew 24. He said, even the Son of God doesn't know. As a human, even Jesus didn't know when the day would be. So when everybody starts figuring out it's October 15th, or minute somebody puts a date, red flags. Put up red flags. We're not supposed to know that. But just know this, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. So you guys are thinking about this. You need to live here. This is what's going to happen. You're going to become witnesses in Jerusalem and, you know, the concentric circles, out to Judea, out to Samaria. This is another one that... I'm going to say this as a joke, so don't freak out. This is like my favorite worst verse. Okay, and who did I give Philippians 4 to? Yeah, when you read it, you'll understand why this is my favorite worst verse.
Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Think about such things.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Live here. Live in the present. You know, and I'll get into, the Thessalonians, he said, you know, endure also. There's some enjoying and rejoicing, and there's times of enduring. But live in here, in the present. And then be anxious for nothing. I mean, I don't know why, this week was weird. Tuesday, was tough. And it brings back anxious, just like, God, what are you doing? You know, and it brought back just, you know, memories that, and I was going to preach on this verse, and I thought, I can't, because I don't think I have it yet. But be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but just pray and make your supplication and thanksgiving and request be known to God. Life would be so much easier, wouldn't it? If I would just listen. And that's kind of where, I'm not tying this all together with what is happening to the Thessalonians. This is kind of where they were. What's going on, God? There was persecution going on, and they were they're wondering, what? I thought life was going to be easier. And one of the best analogies I've heard of this whole thing about the future and what's happening there, and are the earthquakes and all the famines and all the wars, are those signs of the times? It's like going, have you ever been to a play? Like, we used to go to, kids used to have plays, and and play is different than a movie, because you go there and you got the curtain, and you see people running around, and you know, sometimes you see their feet and see things moving, and see things happening, and you know something is happening, right? And you hear the movement, but you understand all they're doing is setting the stage for the next act. They're setting the stage. I can't worry about what's behind that curtain. I don't know, you know, I have no control over what's behind the curtain, but they're setting the stage. And that's kind of what I think God wants us to understand about this whole future event thing. You know, and instead of being anxious about this future, and even anxious about this present day, make your prayers and supplications known to God. Don't be misled. don't get off track. That, essentially, that's what he's saying. And what he's going to tell them then is there's a couple things have to happen. They thought, they were being told in verses 1 and 2 that the day of the Lord had already happened, that they missed it. And see, you're going through persecution, so obviously you missed it, you know, and you're going to be left here. And what? So let me read verses 3 through, let me read through 9. So Paul says, well, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. Don't be deceived by what people are saying. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? I'll stop there. So he's going to say, you didn't miss this. There's two things that have to happen. And not a whole lot of detail about this. And I think that's where kind of, when you get into the whole different theological views of this. But everybody agrees, two things have to happen. The apostasy has to happen first. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come. The day of the Lord will not come unless the apostasy comes first. This falling away, this rebellion against God, a revolt against Him. Now, you know, we tend to think, and you listen to a lot of preachers, and everybody focuses on the United States. Well, you know what? The church is pretty big. The church is like exploding in China. The church is being persecuted in Iran. The church, it's not, you know, we tend to be pretty myopic about, it's all about us. Where's the United States in this? Well, we might be, our society as a society might be, well, not might be. We don't like the direction it's headed. You know what I mean? And and they ever feel frustrated, like there's really nothing you can do? Well, there is. Don't be anxious for anything. But by prayer and supplication, make your request be known to God. Why do I, you know, can I do anything about Washington, D.C.? Well, I can vote. You know, you can vote. But I can also pray. And I can also pray for the guys that are standing up for what's right. And for the people that are saying what's right. So when we look at this, it's like the apostasy of the, what people would look at as Christendom, not believers, but like as people would look at the church, there will be a rebellion, there will be an apostasy. And do we put these things on the internet? Okay, well, let's skip this one. Because I have a friend that is a believer, well, no. He claims he went to a theological seminary, but he doesn't believe in the resurrection, and he doesn't believe in life after death. And let no one mislead you. I mean, how can you be a Christian, claim you're a Christian, and not believe in the resurrection? I mean, it was very sad. We were golfing when he told me this. We were sitting waiting for these guys to come, and he says, yeah, I don't believe in the resurrection anymore. I almost fell out of the cart. I'm like, why? I mean, so am I saying that is, you know, there has to be a major movement of Christendom away from the tenets of the faith, away from an actual rebellion against who God is. And he doesn't really give you a whole lot of details. Actually, none. You know, it's just there's going to be a falling away. There's going to be a rebellion against God. That's what apostasy is. It's a revolt. It's like, no, we don't need God. You know, it could be. There's one Arab that I've read. I mean, that could be the false God, Allah. You know, anybody that says they're the same. So there's going to be an apostasy and a falling away. The second thing that has to happen is the end of verse 3, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Now, most people, there's so much involved in it. I mean, this is called this is who people call the Antichrist. And words used for him in this whole passage is he's revealed. He's coming. He's going to come with power and signs and wonders. Who else is that? Who else, whose other coming uses those same words? The coming of our, the true God, the coming back of the Messiah. He's going to come. He's going to be revealed from heaven. And he's coming with signs and wonders and miracles. And this guy comes with false signs and false miracles. People are going to just, and I, you know, if you've seen any of the Left Behind series or, you know, I mean, he's going to do miracles. People are going to love this guy. He's not going to be, you know, demon looking. They're going to just go, wow, look at this. And most people think talking about looking at YouTube, there's one guy that came out, the Pope was supposed to be headed to, I think this week, 14th. When's the 14th? He's headed to Israel. And I don't know if this is true, but he's supposed to sign an agreement with Israel on some sort of peace. You know, they've tried to bring peace to the Middle East. And of course, this guy thought that the current Pope is the Antichrist. Don't be deceived. Don't be misled. You know, I mean, I think it will, I'm not even sure. Now, could we still be around for that? I kind of doubt it. Anyway, so those are what he's telling, when the Thessalonians were worried, they were being persecuted, and he said, quit worrying. Don't be disturbed. Don't be shaken. Stand firm. Two things have to happen first. The apostasy, there's going to be a falling away, and a man of lawlessness is going to come. And then, and he says to them in verse 5, do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? Now, I don't know how much he told them. I mean, you know, most people think he was there maximum a month. So he had to tell them, and I don't know if he had this chart ready or what, but they had to have some understanding that Jesus was coming back. And that this persecution, and then they were surprised. And that's why I said, you know, he said to them in this thing where you're worthy. Don't, if you think you missed it because you're going through this judgment, and he tells them in verse 5 of chapter 1, you're worthy, that God has made you worthy. And he closes the chapter with that. And then he closes with that prayer that says, you know, I want you to stand firm and Jesus be glorified in who you are. So then in verses 6 through kind of the end of 12, I think I go all the way to the end. Let me read those. And you know what restrains him now, so that it is in his time he may be revealed. So this man of lawlessness is being restrained. He's being held back. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. So you're going through this persecution, Thessalonians. And it seems like lawlessness right now, but trust me, there's a restrainer. This isn't as bad as it gets. You're going through tough times, but it's going to get bad. He said and he can't take over because the restrainer is holding him back. Verse 8, and when that lawless one will be revealed, that's whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That's kind of like right there. At the end of the tribulation, when it is really bad, it's the seven seals and bowls and trumpets. When it's so bad, and man might destroy himself because the restrainer has been taken away, that Jesus is going to stay, he's going to blow him away, literally, with the breath of his mouth. So he's trying to say to them, so don't be anxious for anything. And then in verse 9, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all powers and signs and false wonders, and with all deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not, listen to this verse, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. There's coming a judgment for people, And these, and that's like earlier in this book, where this is eternal punishment. And for those, not just, because Gary was talking about this, it can't, it's like, you don't just believe the truth. I mean, they might, you know, there's people that claim they, well, I know who Jesus is. And but Paul says, they did not receive what? The love of the truth. I mean, when you guys sang Amazing Grace, I mean, that was one of, after I got saved, that song just like hit me in the face. That saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Where you just love the truth of the gospel. 'Cause if it wasn't for that, I'd be with those with all deception and wickedness who are going to perish at the end. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. And when people get in, when you get into this whole thing about the restrainer, and I think there's been over history, there's been who they think the restrainer is. For a while they thought it would be Rome. Rome would restrain evil. You know, they were the peace of Rome, right? I mean, that was a Latin term or something like that. The peace of Rome. Well, they became after. In 70 AD, they went after the church. You know, they persecuted Christians. Eventually, the people had to give up the idea that it was Rome that was the restrainer of evil, because they were hanging Christians on poles and lighting them on fire at the party. And so, it couldn't have been Rome. Some people thought it was the government, that they restrain evil. That's what Paul said in Romans, that the government has been given the power of the sword to restrain evil. Well, look at governments. What happens to even the best of them? They become corrupt and power, and you know, you don't have to look far. Not just here, but Pol Pot, and all, I mean, you don't have to look far to see what governments could do. Some people thought it was the angel Micah. Some people thought it was the preaching of the gospel that was restraining evil, but. And in dispensationalism, it's kind of the preaching of the gospel, but it's the Holy Spirit that has been restraining evil, the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that once the rapture happens, the Holy Spirit's gone, the restrainer is gone. I mean, we may not think we have much of an influence on the world, but, man, all the little things we do around, you know, I mean, we through us, the Holy Spirit is restraining evil. And that's so that's what most people think it is. And there's three R's that are going to happen. There's going to be a removal of the restrainer. The lawless one is going to be revealed, and then eventually, at the end, in verses at the end of 9, then and Jesus is going to come and with the breath of his mouth destroy him. So it's as I thought through this, and I was thinking. Well, what is, like, so what, who cares? You know, what, so we, you know, we, you can have this chart down and you can understand the rapture, and I want the rapture to happen. I don't, you know, if it, you know, we may have to suffer some. I mean, we've had, I was talking to Rick about this when we were driving around for 3 hours looking for his wallet. You know, it could get bad for us, right? I mean, we've had it pretty nice. You know, and I said to Rick, after he got over the emotion of losing his wallet, I said, Rick, if this is the worst thing that happens today, we're doing pretty good. You know, we're doing pretty good. And could it get bad? Could we get suffer for our faith? Could I get arrested for saying homosexuality is sin? Could we get arrested for saying sin at all? And believing in traditional marriage, could that ever? I mean, what if that happens? Would I be willing to go to jail? Well, if you guys visit me, I might. But so anyway, as I thought through this, and I started thinking about what Paul was saying to them. And I started thinking about this because he told them, he looked back at the past in their life, and you came to faith. There was this time you understood the gospel. And I as I started thinking through this, so I thought, well, you got to remember the past, right? Remember and learn. I mean, hopefully we learn from the past. I mean, I wish I could say, I won't make that mistake again, but that would be a lie. But we ought, when we look at the past, just remember some of the bad things that some memories I have I shouldn't forget. And remember the past and learn from that. That's what he's saying to them. Remember where you came from. And then I started thinking, well, what did you learn about in the past? What did you learn about God? And I thought, God was faithful. Right? However you spell it. We learned that God was faithful. Look back at your life. Look at where God has taken you. In the midst of my anxiety and my lack of trust. And he still says, Bob, I'm still faithful. Remember what I did. Remember how I worked for you in the past. And then I started thinking about, living like, and I thought about this with, I'm not being persecuted, you know what I mean? But yesterday, the whole day kind of went up for grabs. I had it all planned out, and then, not feeling, how many times did it happen to you, where you have the whole day planned, and then nothing goes right, right? And I get anxious, and I get worried, and I get, it hit me Tuesday. And then it's better. And I'm going, what does this prove? When we live in the present, it's like I wrote on here, don't miss this. I shouldn't be living in the future, wondering what's going to happen tomorrow, and what am I going to do this week, sometimes I worry so much about that, I don't enjoy right now. And Rick and I don't hardly spend any time with guys just hanging out. And so we had to hang out for like 4 hours with, and just guys doing stupid stuff. But why can't we ought to just, I didn't get to go to the party and say congratulations to Austin, so tell him congratulations. But I wrote, don't miss this. Don't worry so much about tomorrow that you miss this. And what do you learn about? And enjoy it. I wrote on here, enjoy this. Now, some days it's enjoying it, and some days it's enduring it. He doesn't, Presbyterian, the catechism, the chief end of man is to enjoy, what is it? Yeah, to enjoy God? No. To glorify God and enjoy him forever, And that sounds really good, but there are sometimes you just got to endure. You know what I mean? I wish I could say I walk around with a smile on my face every day. Some days, it's hanging on. Some days, it's just letting go. I would love to say I've always hung in there. That would be a lie. As I say that, I think of it. Remember, there was a little drawing of footsteps in the sand, and it's true, right? Where it's like you're walking along and 2 footprints, and said, God, where were you? And he said, you left me on the beach. There's only one. Said, that's when I picked you up. And that's what, I guess remembering that's when I picked you up. But then what do we learn about God in the present? That God was faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. He's, today. whatever we face, and today, what is it? That's what God says. And that's what Paul's saying to them. In the middle of this tribulation, in the middle of your affliction, in the middle of this, God is faithful right now. Right now. When you look into the future, and I wrote down here, plan, but don't worry. I mean, I wonder when I'm going to really learn that lesson, not to worry. I mean, what am I doing? I think it's a... Anyway, plan, but don't worry. Because why? God will be faithful. I mean, that's what I think he's saying to them. It's just, you know, we can get into all of the nitty gritty of the when the rapture and how it's going to happen and what we're, you know, are we going to be raptured with our clothes, without our clothes? Is it going to be, you know, what? Dude, I hope I have clothes just so at this age. Anyway, Paul's saying to them, remember your past. God was faithful. Right now. Is he changed any in the middle of trouble? Is he different in Anchorage, Alaska than here? And he will be. Don't worry. Don't be shaken by people telling you weird stuff. Two things are going to happen. And know this, that he will be faithful. He will be faithful. I mean, that's what he's telling them. We'll get into when I come back in 3 weeks. We'll finish the book. But this just struck me really last night. That's what he's saying to them. And I don't. It might be what Paul says in a lot of his books. You know, you can get into the tough theology and having all the answers. I mean, when I go through it, remember when the Francis were here and Steve wanted to teach Revelation? I said, man, I can't do it because I can't. It gets all messed up in my head. But an engineer, they're pretty good at it, you know, and he did do. Some of these details get really muddled in my head. But it teaches me one thing, that God's faithful. And Bob, don't forget it. And when you do forget it, I'll pick you up. I'll pick you up. Let's pray. Father, there's so many details we'd like to have answers to, or things we would like to know. Like the disciples, you know, what are they going to be the signs? When is it going to happen? Give us the day. You told them it's not for them to know. It's not for us to know. What we do know, what we can plant our feet on. Not us, not our understanding, not our great theology, not our, theology is important, but on your word and on your faithfulness and on your goodness and on that you were faithful to us. Remind us of that. That you are now, every day. You'll never leave us or forsake us. And that you will be. That we don't have to worry about the tomorrow, what we shall eat or what we drink. You told us, just look at the birds of the air. How you take care of them. Remind us. When I see a bird next time, remind me how you take care of them. Will you not more take care of us? Thanks for this day. Thanks for your word. Thanks for your son. It's in his name I pray. Amen. We're just